Gracious God, thank you. We have heard you speak as we've heard your word. Please help us to continue to hear you speak now. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. There is, by the way, just in case you need to know, there's a parents' room out the back, which I think the video is going for that. Is that right, John? Yeah, so there's a video and audio feed through there. If you need to take the kids out or anything like that, that's there, just so you know. Well, as I said, here we are on Christmas Eve morning, and it's good to reflect on this psalm together. I know for many, at different in different ways, times can be hard at the moment. Many of us have worries and concerns about either the state of the world or society. And even if that's the case for you, and even if you're feeling a bit like that, Christmas is still a time when we have joy and we remember reasons for joy. Even for some of us who might be down or missing people or feeling lonely, which Christmas can actually exacerbate those feelings sometimes because we feel like we should be feeling joyous or we see other people are. But even for those of us in a place like that, I think this psalm has something to say to us today. Because whether we feel like it at the moment or not, whether we realize it right now or not, whether we're feeling excited and exuberant or whether we're feeling very different to that, we have much to praise the Lord for. Christmas reminds us of why that is, of things that actually happened in our world a couple of thousand years ago that still affect the present, that will affect the future. And again, if you want to dive into that more deeply, there's tomorrow morning for our Christmas day service, there's tonight for the services. But this morning, we're just going to dip into the reality that there's much to praise the Lord for together, just a little bit. And so we've got a psalm of praise, which is what Psalm 100 is. If you've got a Bible there, look at the heading. John helpfully read it for us. In many Bibles, it's in italics or small script, just under the words Psalm 100, and it says, a psalm for giving grateful praise. By the way, most of the headings in many of our Bibles, the kind of headings that are often in bold, they're not actually part of the Bible text. They're just added later by the editors to help us find our place, kind of a useful bookmarkish kind of thing. They're not part of the inspired text. We don't usually read them out in our readings in church. But the headings in the Psalms are different. They're actually part of the text. You need to take notice of them, and they often help you understand the psalm better. And in this case, as I said, this one says, for giving grateful praise, a psalm for giving grateful praise. So this psalm, that's what it's for. It's a song of praise, for giving grateful praise. And this psalm basically consists of two calls to praise and then reasons why we ought to give that praise. So the psalm says, effectively, praise God, and then it's as if someone asks, why should I praise God? Why should we praise? And the psalm gives an answer. And then it does that over again. So we have a call to praise, and then why, and then a call to praise, and then why again. So we're getting to the first call to praise. Shout for joy. Verse 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We see here a little bit of the nature of praise. It's a shout. It's gladness overflowing. It's indeed joy in God overflowing. So with that, it's important that we give joy in God a chance to overflow. If we want to be people who praise, who have praise in our hearts, then if we want to be the kind of person who has kind of happiness flowing out of them in praise, we need to give that joy a chance to overflow. And a key to doing that is spending time focusing on the good things that we have in the Lord. We'll talk more about what those good things are in a moment, but it's just remember, it's vital to spend time thinking about them, considering them, focusing in on them. Then there is a much higher, if you do that, there's a much higher chance that joy and praise will flow out of you. Even if in other ways things are very hard, there's a source of joy that is still there for you if you focus in on it. Of course, that doesn't mean that praise is always calculated. As you focus on and you kind of store up the good things that we have to praise God for, sometimes something will just kind of hit you. And you'll think to yourself, isn't God good that he's done that or that this has happened? But there's more that's said about praise here. Another element of praise in verse 2 is worship the Lord. Part of shouting for joy, part of this call to praise is worshiping him. And worship is often misunderstood. Literally, the word here is actually serve, as some of your Bible translations may have. See, worship is more than just a feeling. It's more than singing in church. It's service of the Lord. It's indeed more than our words. It's not less than our words, but it's more. Praise moves us in the direction of worshipful service of the Lord. If we've got a heart that praises, then we're more likely to have a heart that wants to worshipfully serve the Lord. So here's this call to praise. Shout for joy in worship to the Lord. But someone asks, why? Why should we shout for joy and worshipfully serve him? And the psalm gives us an answer. Look at what you've done, Lord. Look at what you've done. Look again at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist here tells us what God has done. He's saying, do you want to know why you should praise the Lord? Well, I'll tell you why. Look at what he's done. Firstly, look at what he's done in creation. He made us. God made us. Firstly, in the sense that he made all things. He's the creator of all. The creator of the beautiful mountains, the wonderful seas, beautiful blue summer sky, leading to a sunset that we often so often get to take in on a summer's night. The magical starry blanket that fills the sky after the sun goes down. All God's idea. And us, our very selves, our bodies, our lives, we are his idea. He made us. The things that fill us with awe are a little reflection of the one who made them in his awesome greatness. So if you look at the wonder of creation, let that wonder overflow in praise to the Lord, the beauty of the world. Even when there are things that go wrong in the world, and even when we sin and that mars it, yes, it's true, but still it's so beautiful and so wonderful. So look at the wonder of creation. Also look at the wonder of salvation. We're a special people of God. And God is doing wonderful things in the world to save people. See, God not only made us in the sense of creating us, he also made us into his people. He made the people of ancient Israel, who this psalm was first sung by, into his people by saving them out of Egypt from slavery and making them his own. And he's done that for us in the church too. He's made us to be his people, joined together in the wonderful work of salvation, brought together under Christ. We are his people. We are the work of his salvation, the people of his pasture, the sheep of his pasture, as the psalm says. And of course, in order for God to make that happen, in order for him to make us his people, he went to extraordinary lengths, which is something we remember in part at Christmas time. See, in order to make us in his most full sense possible, in order to make us the most full sense possible, his people, in order to be united to us, he actually came and made himself one of us. That infant lying there in the manger was not just a cute little baby born in an extraordinary way. He was, in fact, incredibly God come amongst us. And he came amongst us, taking on the difficulties and limitations of being human, not for his own sake, as if I really want to experience being a human. No, he didn't need any such thing. He was God. Being human isn't that great. Rather, what he did to save us, to unite us to himself, so he could go on and die for our sins as one of us. Because being one of us, he could take the penalty that we are due and redeem humanity to give us hope. So there, look at what you've done, Lord. Look at what you've done. But there's another call to praise. In verse 4, enter his gates. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The idea here is a call to come before the Lord in praise and thanksgiving, coming into his presence. The gates and the courts that it's speaking about are the gates and the courts of the temple, the special place of his presence in the Old Testament. So coming into his presence to praise him is what it's speaking of. Indeed, it's recognizing that our being with him is in itself a cause for us to praise him. Something to remind yourself of and consciously take hold of, that being with the Lord, the God of the universe, is a reason for praise. And for those of us who are Christians, we are able to be in the presence of the Lord all the time, because he has chosen to dwell in us. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwelling with us continually. We are never alone, as we sang before. We're never apart from his loving presence. And so as we are in his presence, we're called to give him praise. So come and praise him. You're dwelling with him. And why? If someone asks why, the psalmist tells us again. Praise him, you're dwelling with him, and look at who it is that you're dwelling with. Look at who God is. Not just look at what he's done, yes, look at what he's done, but look at who he is. Look at verse 5 with me. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why praise him? Because of who he is. His goodness, his character seen above all in Jesus Christ, who made himself low to save us, as we just spoke of, who humbled himself so much, but even more, he humbled himself to be beaten and mocked and slain for us, because that is what taking our sin upon himself ended up needing. And he submitted himself to that willingly in order to save us, giving himself, giving his glory up. Why? For our good. That's his goodness. That's his steadfast, unbreaking, never giving up, always and forever love. That's how good he is. He is good. But also, he is faithful. His goodness and his faithfulness. He didn't abandon his people then. He didn't abandon the people of Israel, though they failed him over and over again. He won't ever abandon us. He is faithful. He's so faithful that no matter what you might go through, no matter how hard things might be for you, even right now, he will never leave you. And he's so faithful that even if you've never trusted in him before, he is there, ready and willing to welcome you if you will come to him, if you will put your trust in Christ. He will welcome you, even this very Christmas. He is faithful. He is good. He is faithful. So, praise him. I know we don't always feel like praising. Things can be very hard, as I've said. And even if it isn't a particularly hard season for you right now, even then, in kind of normal times, we can get weary, dejected, flat, just start to feel apathetic. I understand that completely. Sometimes I feel it myself. But when things feel like that, let's dwell on these good things of God. His love, his faithfulness, his salvation, his greatness as the Creator. Let's remind ourselves of these things. Let's say them out loud to ourselves. Read them out loud in the Psalms, like this one. Sing them in the words of the songs we have, like the wonderful words of a song we'll sing soon, which is based on this Psalm. I remember a gentleman I used to live across the hall from. Wonderful man. He was a recovering alcoholic, and he'd come to faith in the Lord. And he used to say to me, I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like praying. And then I read through the words of Be Thou My Vision. And then I feel like praying. Say these things, over these truths over to yourself. And then remind yourself how good God is. And why not come and sing carols and hear more of the great things that God has done tonight and tomorrow and into the new year. Just keep taking those opportunities to praise him, because he has made us. He has saved us. He is good. And his love endures, his faithful love endures forever. Look at what you've done, Lord. Look at who you are, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen.